Rebecca, I need your help. Do you know who this is? Do you know who that cartoon character is? Buzz, it's Buzz Lightyear. Does anybody here know of Buzz Lightyear? Oh, quite a few of you. Some of you have obviously missed out on an upbringing then. By not a lot, I suspect. Buzz Lightyear is a cartoon character in a series of animated cartoons called Toy Story. And in the film, the toy box of toys come to life when their owners are not looking. And then they get up to a whole variety of different adventures. The lead toy character is Woody, who is a cowboy. And then there's Jessie, who is a cowgirl, naturally. They fit together. And then, amongst the other ones, is this guy called Buzz Lightyear. And Buzz's catchphrase is quite simply, to infinity and beyond. Now, if you know anything about infinity, you'll realise that you can't really get beyond infinity. But I'm sure he knew what he was going to do, and he had his hopes anyway. Time. Time is one of the things that seems to fly past when we're enjoying ourselves and slows down a bit when we're in our work situations. But time just keeps going. And if we can have our next slide up. What I want us to think about is not quite so much time, but what's beyond time. Eternity and beyond eternity this morning. We are bound by time. It controls our lives all the time. But God is not bound by time. God is eternal. If we're in a work situation, we maybe keep an eye on the clock thinking, what time is it? Am I allowed to go for a coffee break? I guess in these days of people working from home, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. But we sometimes wish time would go faster to get over what we're involved in, or maybe slow down because we're enjoying ourselves so much. But time just ticks on by. And the older you get, the quicker time seems to go. It doesn't, but it appears to be like that, doesn't it? Anybody experience that? I can remember when I was in the Navy a long time ago now, and having responsibility for younger lads on the squadron. And I had to look at their service documents and write things in them about what they were doing and how well they were doing. And then suddenly, for the first time, I realised that I had joined the Navy before some of these lads had been born. And then that's when you realise how fast time is actually going on. And we can easily lose sight of time and in our lives in this world and to think that this is all that there is. The time that we are here now is all that we can experience. But this is only temporary. This world is only temporary. It's a transient existence. And one day, it's going to come to an end. And life is not the end. Life is the end of this existence. But life moves us on, every single one of us, every single person in the world, into another destination. And if we can have we've got that PowerPoint up now, good. Psalm 90. And I'm sure if you've been reading my Psalms, you'll all know this. Maybe not. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is an eternal God. And this eternal God has put that sense of eternity into every single person, every single one of us. In Ecclesiastes 3:11 we read, God has also set eternity in the human heart. Even people that have no concept or understanding of God, when they have a tragedy in their lives, particularly if a younger person dies, a child in the family, they're always trying to look beyond this life, even though they've got no concept or understanding of it. They can't think that maybe the death of a child is the end of everything for that child. And that sense of outside of ourselves, beyond our existence, is within every one of our hearts. And God's put it there. And so what I want us to do this morning briefly is to look at three sets of contrasts that Paul presents in this passage from 2 Corinthians that we've been reading. And we're all growing older, whether we like it or not, and none of the lotions or the potions or things we take will do an awful lot for us. And as I said before, the older we get, the more we realise it. But Paul, as he wants to look at and encourage his church, is wanting them to see beyond their current situation. In verses 1 and in 16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. And the reason that we do not lose heart is quite simply given to us in verse 14 of this passage. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. And that is the hope that all we as Christians have. Right from Paul's time, right up to now, and to however long in the future this world will go on. If we are Christians, we're going to be raised up by the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was raised up. And that's the hope that we have for the future, is based upon the grace and the power of God. He raised Jesus from the dead, and he will also raise us together to be with him. And as we look back in this passage, we see that Paul is talking about the difficulties and problems of being a Christian. And we all know that in our own lives. It's not easy to be a Christian, despite what some people may say. It isn't all glory and triumph. In verse 8, he says that he is hard pressed on every side. Paul faced problems in life. We think sometimes that these older saints just sailed through life without an issue, a problem, a difficulty. But it's not true. And in other places, he actually outlines all the things that he experienced as a Christian. His shipwrecks, he's been stoned to death, beaten by the authorities, all because he was a Christian. And we're able to face problems like that in our own lives. So, verse 16, outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. He doesn't want his readers to lose heart because of the problems that they were facing. Because we have weak mortal bodies, these jars of clay, as he puts it in verse 7, they have a tendency to waste away. And the older we get, as I said, the more we realise and experience this wasting away, until one day our mortal bodies will cease to function and they will die. It is inevitable, unless the Lord returns first, of course. Though sadly, many people try to preserve our bodies as long as we can. But they forget that the inner man, our spirit, is far more important. The spiritual man, that part of our being that relates to God, is being renewed day by day. And we help this renewal, in one sense, by our own attitude to God, our praying to God privately, our reading his word, seeking to live for him. Our bodies are not unimportant. We shouldn't abuse them. And that the ancient philosophies in Paul's time viewed the body as evil and the spirit as good. But our bodies are created by God. God created us in Adam and Eve as human beings, and therefore it is good. Our bodies are important, and we need to look after them. But our bodies do face decay. But the problems that we face in life now are for a moment, in contrast to eternity. So we should put them into that perspective. Not easy when we face difficult and traumatic events in our lives. But Paul would encourage us to lift our eyes upwards to see our great God.
And we see this in verse 18.
We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. In many respects, this is a difficult thought for us to understand. How can we fix our eyes on something we cannot see? We cannot see God physically. In the New Testament times, they could physically see the Lord Jesus Christ as a man on earth. But we haven't got that experience. We don't have that blessing, in a sense. And some Christians seem to have their hearts and minds set on the things of the world. And we do need to be cautious about that and guard against it. But accepting that we do need material things to live within our lives. We've got to live, we've got to feed ourselves, we've got to look after ourselves. We have to earn a living for those who are still working. But they do not control our whole life. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, we read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," and he's talking about all the Old Testament saints that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11 there, "let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We need to have this different perspective than that of the world around us. The world lives only for what can be seen physically, but that is not the way that we are to live. Our viewpoint is to go beyond the here and now to the there and then. We don't become monastic, in a sense, in our understanding and close in on ourselves. But we do need to keep a watch on our outlook on life and our attitudes so that we do not become too attached to this life. Paul was always looking to the future, in the sense that he expected the Lord to return and take him to heaven. He had his mind set on things above, as he wrote in Colossians. "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And that's a challenge for us in our own lives. And the final thought is in verse 18. "For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And that's a wonderful thought. This, what we can see around us, is only temporary. And said, it's all going to disappear one day. The whole of this universe is going to be collapsed into nothingness when God recreates a new heavens and a new earth. And so what we see now around us is going to disappear. It is what is unseen that is eternal. That is the thing that's going to last into the eternity and beyond, if there can be any beyond eternity. And he brings out these and puts them all into perspective. It will not last. It has been not destined to last. It will end one day. And even Jesus said that the heaven and earth would pass away, but that his word would abide forever. Because the Lord has delayed his return, and 2,000 years have gone past, it's perhaps easy to lose sight of that promise. And sadly, many Christians seem to have lost the hope that I hope that we have in the Lord's return to establish a kingdom of peace and of security and of hope. But that was the hope that kept Paul focused on his life. He was well aware of what God had planned for those who loved him and follow him. And if you read on into chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, you'll see that.
Paul was clearly aware that the present age is only transient, but the age to come is eternal. His present sufferings were only temporary, but his reward was eternal, destined forever. And that they will far outweigh anything that we can experience now. So do we have that perspective on our own lives and our own future? Our only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ and his great love for us as he died for our sins. Only then can we begin to understand the hope of a future in the presence of God when we come to know him and to experience his love and his blessing in our lives. If we're Christians, we can move into the future, realizing afresh that this life and this world are only short and temporary. What we do with our lives is vitally important. We want to serve the Lord with them. But at the end, we are destined for eternity, and that is a spiritual realm with God. In the prophecy of Daniel, in chapter 7, we find that term, the Ancient of Days, which gives you a clue to our closing song. It is used only 3 times in the whole of the Bible, and it's in the prophecy of Daniel. It expresses this thought that God is from eternity in the past to eternity in the future. And he is over all time and all history, the God of eternity. When Solomon had built a magnificent temple for God, he was given the privilege of doing that. We would think that he was so proud to have achieved so much for God. And wasn't this a fantastic place for God to dwell in? A little bit more glamorous than our church building here. More gold in it than we can imagine. Where's Catherine? Do you know how much gold was in the temple? About 34 tons. I doubt the funds will go that far. There's 34 tons of gold lining this magnificent temple building, along with huge quantities of silver. But what was his attitude? He suddenly came to realize and prayed to God, saying, "But will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this magnificent temple that I have built for you on God's instructions." Absolutely beautiful. And yet he recognized that God could not be contained in that. We cannot tame God, as it were, in that way. And that was Solomon's own verdict on that temple. And, you know, we don't have that problem here of thinking we've got a really wonderful building that God's got to be pleased to dwell here. Some people have got magnificent buildings and think in some way they can contain God within their building. And we hear people saying, "Oh, we're going to a big cathedral," and you, wow, you can feel the presence of God. Well, you can do that here. You can do that at home in your own place. We don't need a building to experience the presence of God, because our God indwells eternity as a God of eternity, all mighty, all powerful, totally self-existent. Above all, over all, he is a God who knows each one of us and cares for each one of us. He is the one that we can completely trust in our lives. And as I said, our closing song reminds us of this. It's that wonderful song from that Australian group City Light called The Ancient of Days. Amen.